The heavens smile upon you, dear listener. Either by choice or chance, you have arrived at Idiots Disgusting Universe, Music Review, Bonus Podcast Zone. Cast aside your fickle life of indecision and let the IDTU tell you what they think. Welcome to Hit or Shit.
The color salmon?
Not really. No, I don't.
I
don't like that salmon-y maroon either. You know?
So, yeah.
Like, or, it's this old lady. It's old lady pink. You know, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
They call it salmon, but it really is like the old ladies that I used to mow lawns for when I was, is the light bothering you there?
It's a little interrogation.
Oh, shit. Well, fucking don't report me to Mordor.
You're in the dark over there. You're like in the shadows. I'm under the floodlight here. Yeah.
It burns.
It burns us. It burns us, our skins.
Yeah, but just, you know, I...
No, it's cool. I mean, it's very cool. I mean, I think that it...
It's kind of the same color of me.
But it's so 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, like that color, that everything about it is just like, that's something that you would just see.
Yeah.
Maybe not the Carhartt combo. You know, if you got rid of that Carhartt thing, it would just be like, oh, that's probably like a, not an OP, because OP was done, but one of the hobby t-shirts or one of those, like, you know.
Oh, like,
Big Dog.
Big Dog. Yeah. Or like Life's Good.
Yes.
Remember those Life's Good shirts?
One of those styles of, like, not one of those big companies, but one of the, like, cooler kind of come-up companies.
Yeah.
It would have been, like, an internet sensation, but there was no internet.
Right.
So they went out of business.
Right.
But they made some cool shit before that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that shirt. Have you seen that one that I have? It's from that San Diego Surf company. It's like a long white t-shirt, and it's just got the most horrible, like, 80s lettering on the back. Like Rockware is what it's called, or something.
Okay.
Candace would always be like, oh, I love that shirt.
Okay, so we're talking about some San Diego pride type shit.
Yeah, she's like, I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know where, I mean, I remember where, even remember where I got it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's awesome.
I don't even know where
I
am right now.
It's horrible. I mean, it's like that. it's like that. You know, it's like, it's so bad that it clicks back around to being like cool again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's so funny how fashion is like that, where it's like, how close can you get to the line of being actually offensively awful, but then somehow pulling it off?
Yeah. No, like, it's like Chuck Klosterman says, like, fashion now is that guy wearing the tuxedo vest and the traffic cone on his head.
Yeah.
Is he mentally challenged, or is he the coolest guy in the room?
Exactly.
You know, and if you are the coolest guy in the room, the most fashionable, people are asking that question.
Right.
Is he okay?
Is he okay?
Or is he way cooler than me?
Yeah, I can't tell. I can't tell. And that's the question that you want
people
to ask.
That's it. Yeah.
It's funny because I was catching up with Jeremy yesterday over FaceTime.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me about some LA folks, and it's a whole different ball game down there with the fashion.
He's not much of a peacock, really, as far as dressing, is he?
No.
Does he dress flashy?
He dresses like tech guy, like rich tech guys who are trying to very much dress down.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Where it's like they can afford whatever they want, but they just wear like one color t-shirt and modest jeans and Converse, you know,
because
they're just a normal guy.
Right.
But they could buy the sweatshop or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he was showing me some people that he had been talking to and trying to work with, just like screenshots of them from his like personal collection.
Uh-huh.
And there's this one guy who's like a pretty, you know, popular producer down there who he showed me, who was wearing like... He was wearing this, like, ascot, like a white little handkerchief tied around his neck.
Oh, wow.
And this, like, little white, like, boat hat thing with these big, like, transparent glasses, you know, with, like, transparent frames.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Wow. So kind of like that keyboardist in Russian, along that line, in that Russian synth pop band yeah. that we're watching.
Yeah, actually.
That kind of feel.
That guy was way cooler, though. That guy pulled it off somehow, right. Whereas this guy, you're like...
Well, that guy was so macho in the Russian band. Right, it's right. Hard. You didn't dare like mock him very much.
No, I came up with a good burn. I was like, oh, yeah, that kerchief is for, you know... dabbing the jizz off of the corner of his mouth. That's what that's for. Oh, is that your...
Oh, I can't wait till you get down there. It's going to be so fun.
Is that your jizz bib?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I don't know. It's going to be one of those things where I will be asked to leave and never come back.
Yeah.
Or they'll be like, this guy is great. It's a breath of fresh air. Or I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you will you'll be who you are, but you'll just shift in the spot that you are in, like the social unit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where you'll be just the kooky right sort of guy. I think not really right, but they'll think you are.
Yeah,
just the cis square like kind of mean one.
Oh yeah. I guess so, huh?
You might, even though you're nice, Oregon nice, I think you're Southern California mean.
Interesting.
Probably.
I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you're still a little direct for Southern California.
Yeah. You think so?
Oh, yeah. They can't take any sort of confrontation at all.
Wow.
I mean, it's really...
That boggles my mind, because I thought we were the most passive-aggressive people.
God, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Northern California is the worst, but Southern California is bad, too.
Right.
All of California is bad.
Yeah.
We take after California.
Right.
Like Oregon is a conglomeration of has some Western values to it, too. I mean, or California does, too, but, like, we're very much more of, like, a Rocky Mountain Western state
mm-hmm.
than California.
A little bit more like, leave us alone.
It goes all the way back to that split in the trail. Are you going to go to California to mine gold, or are you going to Oregon to farm?
Right, or cut down trees or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. You know, you were going to like live and be the wholesome like thing in Oregon, and then in California it was like the get rich quick golden shores. That
gold rush, baby.
Yeah, kill all the Indians and that sort of thing.
Well, speaking of get rich quick, welcome to another episode of Idiots Discuss the Universe.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
Just cashing checks.
Yep, that's what we're in this for. The big money, baby.
And it's rolling in.
It's just rolling in.
Rolling.
Yep. And speaking of which, just to give a little bump, a little promo, you can always go and check out our Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Patreon. You just search Idiots Discuss the Universe on Patreon, and we are there. We've got exclusive bonus content for as little as $1 a month. And,
there's a lot of it.
There's a lot.
There's hours.
Yeah. You get
it's
to
like 10 cents an hour or something like that.
Yeah, it's very affordable, and you get to hear a little bit more behind-the-scenes, unfiltered versions of me and Craig. And so that's fun if you want an even more sort of edgy and raw. And
right. We put the stuff that we think will get us in trouble with our hate listeners on our Patreon because we know that those bitches aren't going to pay any money to listen to us. Just to hate on us, you know, but they'll listen to us for free to hate on us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things that when we knew that we were onto something, I think when we first really understood that we were onto something is when we started getting hate listeners, you know?
Right.
At least for me, I was like, oh, we might, I mean, it's always been fun, but I'm like, oh, we might really have something going here.
We do have something going.
I think so.
But I think that like the hate, there's been enough like negative. We didn't have enough positive momentum before the negative found us.
Yeah.
I think we were just like, we just shone too bright. Our star was too bright, Svenny. And like we caught some.
We attracted some gravitational energy or something.
You know, I was also thinking that it would be possible if somebody was reporting our various posts on social media. Too,
absolutely.
At that time,
but see
when things all dropped off, and we thought it was when things all dropped off, and we thought it was because of me being mean to the Norwegians. it could have actually been someone just reporting our shit.
Yeah,
all the time.
I that's a very good theory, and that would really
Because, I mean, it's report, a lot. They report it, and it's not immediately, like, the algorithm doesn't immediately see it as, like, offensive. Mm-hmm. It goes into the review pile, and then it waits in the review pile, and by the time it's reviewed, and then it's, like, opened back up again, it's 2 days old, and nobody's looking at it because it's Instagram.
Right. But do you think in that time, like, we wouldn't hear anything about it?
I don't know.
That's what I wonder.
I don't think that you get you hear anything about reporting unless there's like something that is valid. You know what I'm saying? Like I think that they would have found something. They're just reporting shit that was not bad. They were just reporting to be bitches.
Well, you know, thank you to our haters out there. Really, you make us stronger.
Yeah, I don't know that we have any real active ones right now.
No, I think they've fallen off.
I think so.
I think they've fallen off.
They've gotten bored. There's nothing they can really do to us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There really isn't.
Right.
They might remember in a couple of years when there is some things they could do, but we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
That's when we'll get the next batch.
Right.
We cross that next hurdle of popularity. We'll get that next batch of haters.
Yes, absolutely.
And seriously, folks, get to our Patreon. Give us some money every month, and that'll just get us to that point a little quicker.
Yeah.
And then there'll just be all sorts of hate drama going through the Idiots Discuss the Universe.
Oh, boy.
Just see how our sensitive hearts react to it.
Yeah.
You know,
that'll be entertainment.
That's worth the subscription right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, who knows? If we get to a certain number on Patreon, I'm thinking maybe we could do something special for you guys.
Pizza party.
We could do a YouTube live stream where you can watch Craig and I eat pizza, and then you guys can get pizza also.
Yeah.
And then,
because you probably like gross things on your pizza.
Yeah, you probably do.
You probably do, too. I don't even know. We've not done pizza.
Oh, well, we have talked about how barbecue chicken pizza is not a thing that you like, but I'm saying that's a good thing.
That's not acceptable.
It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's certainly above putting pineapple on a pizza.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, it's not above that.
It's way high above.
It's down that rabbit hole. That's the pineapple people were the ones that started the abomination that you're now celebrating.
No.
Oh, it is.
They did open the door.
That whole West Coast pizza thing is like not really pizza. It's just like a gay pie. Yeah.
No.
It's a saucy, sweet gay pie. I'm too light in the loafers for actual barbecue chicken, so let me put it on this piece of bread with some sauce and some cheese, and we'll eat it that way. And then we'll go see my boyfriend at work.
You know what, Craig? The things you're saying have the stink of truth to them. They do. But I will say that, you know, maybe everyone's a little gay, you know, with the, because, you know, I think everyone likes a little bit of weird shit on their pizza from time to time.
Gay people like good stuff, generally. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's stuff that
finer
makes,
things.
It's stuff that makes you soft. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but you just got to like have it in measured doses, you know? And like,
so you're saying West Coast barbecue pizza turns you gay.
West
is what you're saying.
West, it makes you soft.
Makes you soft, it's not gay. Okay, right. Distinction. You know,
it's that West Coast pizza sort of thing with the artichokes and like all the crazy sauces.
Yeah, I don't like most of that. What about pesto on pizza?
Mm.
That's Italian, though.
That's Italian. I don't know.
And I just have a thing.
They don't really get it either. Though that's the thing is like pizza as we know it, like comes from fucking the Midwest. It comes from Chicago. I mean, like the World's Fair of 1900, I think is like the world's like the pizza as like the thing that took over the world is like the thing that everybody eats, like started then, you know, and then it was like American Italian food. And you go over to, I mean, not that it wasn't like an Italian dish, it was, but it like
it's
was
different.
All through the Mediterranean, but it tastes like fucking crap about like 40% of the time. I mean, it's not like that solid thing in America. Like, you know, I can go anywhere and get a slice of fucking pizza and I know it's going to have like grease, dough, like salt. A little bit of juice in there and a little bit of cheese, yeah. Salt. And it's going to fill that void for a fucking like 15 minutes to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to remind me that I had it like 6 hours later.
Yep.
And then we're done. Yeah. But like everywhere you go, you can count on it in America. And then like if you're in Europe or if you're in Italy or whatever, you go and you get a piece and you're like, oh, they decided to put some fucking little pieces of shrimp in the cheese on that one. Huh. They're fucking monsters here. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, and I'm sure they feel the same way around here. Like when they see that California pizza shit, they're like,
No, it's a total abomination. Just like when Mexican people come up here and they go to a Mexican restaurant and they're like, what is this food?
What have you done?
Yeah.
What have you done to our culture?
Yeah. It's like Walt Disney has raped the cuisine of Mexico and then Yosemite Sam serving it up to you. You know, it's crazy.
Oh, shit.
But in my opinion, as an American, fat, American, bald, white American, I think that the Mexican food, like the Tex-Mex Mexican food of America, is better than the authentic food of Mexico. I enjoy it more. I do. I'm sorry. It's spicier. It's just like,
I would say the stuff right on the border where it's like it
Tex-Mex.
Is
Tex-Mex.
Well, yeah, but it also, it, I think it does have to be, or even like Southern California with some of their taco carts.
Yeah.
You know, when it's like immigrants from Mexico, but they're doing the thing that they know Americans, they're doing the American version of, like, you know, street tacos and stuff like that.
It's the American version, the though. They're making it like...
But it's to me, it's always the best when it's the people, the original people doing the American thing.
I think that might be true.
You know
what
I mean? Like with Chinese food?
That might be
true. It's like you get some real Chinese people making you some real American Chinese food,
right?
You know, and that's right. When it's the best, you know. I don't know.
But the part about it that makes it like really good, and that's the common thing, is that it's like the American part of it. Like, put more meat, put more grease, more cheese.
Yeah, more, just more.
More.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just more. Like, American Chinese restaurants across the nation, like, that's what they did. They're like, just deep fry it more, you know, like we're not going to do any of these like exotic meats or any of this stuff. It's just like noodles, spiciness, and like lots of like, you know, fattening sweet sauces and things like that Americans love.
Salt and sugar.
And it was huge.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And the same thing is with the Mexican American food. And you notice that like the cuisines that come over and they don't like mix with American stuff as much. Say for example, like the like kosher restaurants and things like that. If you go to like a kosher deli, those are delicious and I love them. Fucking man, corn blats. Like I love fucking corn blats. Fucking matzball soup. Like
dude.
If I lived close to one of those, I would be.
Wait, but that shit's still very Americanized.
It's still very Americanized, but again, like they have not compromised as much as like the Mexican cuisine or the Chinese cuisine.
I disagree, just because it's like if you go to Corn Blatz or you go to any of those old school ones, the giant fucking pastrami sandwiches.
Well,
you
the
get,
sizes and stuff, perhaps the portions,
the portions, and like in their world, I think the amount of salt and things they are allowed to add. Right. It's like.
But
it's comfort food to the max, you know.
It is, but they can only compromise so much with it.
Right, they can't put a bunch of cheese on it.
And have it be what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why those things, like, you can go to Casper and there is no kosher deli, like, delicatessen there.
Oh, really?
It's very much a place where the people that are still in that tradition live and go, and, like, they still rely on, like, traditional Jewish people to like be like 40% of their customer base or whatever, you know, to get going.
Right. Yeah.
And it just hasn't spread across the country like Mexican food or Chinese food or Italian American food or all that sort of stuff,
right.
Because those folks have just bastardized themselves to.
Well, there's no religious restrictions involved.
And they've super intermarried too in a lot of ways, you know. All of those groups have super intermarried with Americans, and they just bring all that
Craig's disdain.
That fat. No, I don't.
No,
I think it's wonderful.
It is wonderful. Hi, Christy.
No, I'm preaching the praises of all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is. It is a wonderful thing. I kind of want to ask the audience. We should do like a poll. We should do an Instagram poll.
About what?
Pineapple pizza or barbecue pizza? Barbecue. Christy? Which one? I like pineapple pizza. Over barbecue? You would take that over barbecue pizza? Yeah. Barbecue chicken pizza? Okay. All right. That's fair. Yeah. We got to vote for pineapple. We got two pineapples in the room.
It's a reluctant pineapple. I mean, I'm not like super pro on the pineapple, but like I would do that before the barbecue.
Yeah. I'm not super. Barbecue's never my first choice, but I've definitely.
What about ranch dressing pizza? You want that? That white pizza? Spinny with some bacon on there.
That's going to be a no for me.
A little bit of caramelized onion, bacon.
That? Now we're talking.
Gouda cheese, and then just a big old scoop of ranch.
Nope, you lost me. I'm throwing that in the trash.
Some Hidden Valley. Hidden Valley
I'm
pizza
throwing
pie,
it in the trash.
Baby.
I'm throwing that in the garbage.
But you might take a couple bites of it first.
Maybe if I let the sauce slide off, I would eat what was left.
No, it bakes in to that crust.
Oh,
it's like
weird.
A big old ranchy cracker.
I feel like I feel my feet swelling right now.
No,
just
it's
listening
it's,
to this.
It is. It's bad. I used to work in a restaurant where we serve like this ranch pizza, white pizza, and people would order it like crazy. And it was like 20. It was fucking huge hand thrown pizza, and like I don't know how many calories one piece of that pizza was, but it was a day's worth.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was at least a day's worth.
Easily.
Yeah. Because that bacon on it and, like, oh, yeah.
Well,
it was
days
wild.
Were 2,000. You think a slice was 2,000? I bet a slice was, like, 600. That's, like, a lot.
It had ranch. It had three kinds of cheese in it. It had caramelized onions. And then it just had a shitload of, like.
Was it thick crust, too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like a lot.
It was, and then there were the big. It was kind of like Flying High pizza pie. Have you ever eaten over there?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, up here
so.
On Stark?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God, dude.
It's good.
That's like a famous Portland thing.
Huh. No, I've never.
Oh, one piece of pizza from that thing, and like, that's like, you can eat on that for a day. That deep. They have that deep.
Oh, it's deep
dish.
Stuff.
It's not pie style with the crust on the top, but it is right up
is
to
it
that
square
point.
Pieces?
No.
Oh, it's.
It's circular, but like, oh, my God, it is like so much. There's like. Four layers of pepperoni on. If you got like
Jesus
the pepperoni,
Christ.
Like cheese, pepperoni, cheese, pepperoni, cheese, pepperoni.
It's like a lasagna at that point.
It's close. Yeah, it's close to as thick as you can get. Like in Chicago, I don't particularly even like super thick pizza.
Yeah,
but there's just something. It is like a pizza lasagna. You just go and get like one pizza for a group of like four or five people, and there's still like two pieces of pizza left.
That stuff is crazy.
It's crazy.
Woo.
That's good.
It is good.
Yeah. Hand-tossed, handmade, all that sort of thing.
It
so,
is, yeah,
definitely, we should go cruise over there.
Let's
and
do it.
Sometime. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's weird talking about foods.
I don't know if they're
like
doing
this.
Pizza by the slice right now with the corona.
Well, we might have to just throw we'll down on it.
Throw down for a whole one.
Well, oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That might be more than we could deal with.
Probably. But
but you can probably
give it away.
Give some to Summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's our kind of deal for sure. But I kind of, you know, when we talk about our foods and American food culture and how we've, you know, sort of absorbed everyone and just made it more, we like dumb it down and make it, you know, like, more, it's not even dumbing it down, but it's like making it more broad and marketable.
Marketable.
I mean, which you kind of the same thing, but,
right.
Yeah, then I do start to get, like, you know, why a lot of people in the world hate us as a country and a culture. You know, I'm like, okay, I get how that might breed some resentments, you know, here and there.
Like, you're whoring out the Mac culture. You take it and you fuck Mac culture, and then you have your sick little children with it, and you fucking try to feed it back to me, and I invented this food, and you've bastardized it, and now you...
But at the same time, it's like, you guys... Like, the whole world is complicit, I feel. I don't know. It's a whole can of worms. I don't want to get into that too deep.
Well,
today,
I mean, but. Like, it's part of, like, living in the greatest empire of its time, of our time. we're like British people living during the British Empire, or Romans living during the Roman Empire, and yeah, a lot of people hate you, but like, if the roles were reversed, they would be the ones taking our culture and adapting it to how they want to do. Not that they don't do that.
Right.
I mean, they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you go to France and you order a hamburger from some crazy-ass cafe, and it's, like, the French way that they want it. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, the bread is different. It's just different.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with it,
but there's not a whole lot of people coming down on them because they've changed the thing around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know why? Because nobody gives a fuck about France.
How dare you? We are the cultural capital of the world. We all fuck each other so much, and we smoke, and we somehow still live forever.
You see, no, they walk. That's why they live forever. They walk. People are angry at the United States because they're a bunch of haters in a lot of ways.
Haters because they ain't us.
Yeah. It is to some degree that.
Yeah.
And then they just find justification for that feeling. And sometimes it gets carried away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There is a lot of valid justification to not like America, but there's a lot of valid justification to not like any of the world governments that are out there right now.
Yeah, if you're going to hold up a country's worst attributes and things and just judge it only on that, then you could do that to any country in the world.
You take the worst, like, 20 years of any country's history, and they're all fucking shit shows.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Shit shows built on fucking graves.
Shit shows built on graves.
Absolutely. Well, you know, speaking of shit, I think it could be time for another episode of
Hit or Shit.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That was a pivot. How do you like that?
It was pretty good.
Was it smooth?
And we really harmonized on it. Sometimes it, you know, that time it just...
Yeah, that did feel very smooth.
Perfect intonation.
Perfect.
We're doing that unplanned, ladies
improv.
Unplanned.
Off the top. But yeah, we're doing Hit or Shit. Mm-hmm. And that's for those of you...
I'm pretty excited about today's.
Me too.
I guess you were going to tell everybody what it is.
Just for the people who don't know or who might... have not heard.
Or forgotten.
Or have forgotten since. Hit or Shit is a segment that we do, an episode that we do, where we listen to a brand new piece of music that is fresh on the charts, fresh on the docket, and we decide whether or not it's any good.
Yeah, except for like the last two or three, because those have been out for a long time.
We just don't tell them that.
Like a year.
Each year. Episode we do is a fresh start, Craig.
Right.
So they don't know that. We're just going to pretend that they... But yeah, sometimes we'll go back a little more, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's new-ish. It's new to us, certainly.
Right.
This will be the first time that we've heard
the thing. I'm just still thinking about it because, like, Hit or Shit was the only unsullied
branch of our podcast.
And we did, like, you know, just like we took a big old fucking... turd on the rules of old gold.
It's so dramatic.
We inadvertently did the same thing to Hit or Shit. We didn't mean to do it.
We didn't mean to.
Yeah.
But we did.
Yeah.
But the rules, hey, they're there just, you know, to be broken, basically.
And we broke them.
We broke them.
Yeah. So it's freedom. We're adjusting to the freedom of the other side.
We're free. But, you know, I don't think that we're the kind of people who, you know, we're testing the boundaries.
Right, the cage door's open, but we're still sitting on
our perch, looking around and
wondering what we're going to do.
We might take a step outside further someday.
We could fly around.
Yeah.
We could.
But we're going back in.
We like to know that we can do it.
Absolutely. That's the main thing.
If we want it.
That's the main thing right there. And so today we're sticking with new, though. I'm positive that this is a new thing.
Spenny came in hot today. He knew what we were doing.
I had a thing that I wanted to listen to, which is always, it's always fun when you have a thing that you're anticipating, and you get to listen to it on here and record our live reactions to it.
Yeah.
We've already done some episodes on this band this year because it's been a big year for this band.
Yeah, we've done several.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Deftones.
Yeah, Deftones. Have we done three episodes on the Deftones this year?
I think so. This will be the third.
Yeah. Two Hit or Shits and one Old Gold.
Oh, so this will... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be the third hit or shit.
Wow.
Cool. Very cool.
Cool.
No, the folks seem to love Deftones.
Yeah.
You know, I love Deftones, but I mean, the folks actually, they always seem to get kind of excited about it.
You know who said it was one of his favorite albums of the year is Jeremy.
Oh.
Yeah. That was my reaction. Yesterday, he's like, I love the new Deftones. I was like, sick.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck yeah. Wow. No, and I'm all about it. I just was kind of surprised
by
that.
Yeah, see, I feel like I haven't listened to it enough yet. Still
same kind
of, yeah
same. I mean I know that
I don't dislike it. I mean, yeah. I like it, but I like it hasn't like I haven't had that click with it
yeah
yet.
Yeah,
but that's cool that Jeremy has.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are into it, and it just generally seems like they're one of those bands that has avoided any massive critical downfall, you know.
Yeah.
over a long career, like they're you know, well over 20 years.
Sure, sure. No, it's quite impressive. They just kind of has done what they do and just kind of let the world categorize them how they will. But like, yeah, they're just going to kind of do that same, not the same thing, but like they're just true to their artistic intentions in the same way they started out as.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it is.
And so I think it's the 25th anniversary of their breakthrough album, White Pony.
God, I'm so old.
I know, dude.
Jesus.
It's
fuck. It's 25 years.
So do you remember when that came out?
I remember listening to that and that album being a thing.
Yeah.
Not real clearly, to be honest.
Or, I'm sorry, like, 20 years, not 25.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it was right around when I was getting married that Deftones was really becoming like not a household name, but like, you know,
yeah,
something that the kids were talking about.
Sure. No, this is when they really got a bunch of like MTV coverage and radio play and everything like that. And not only that, but it was, you know, it wasn't just like a singles album. It wasn't just the radio hits. Like arguably the deep tracks are the best ones, you know, like the song we're going to listen to today is a song called Passenger. And that's a deeper track from the album that featured Maynard back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fucking awesome song.
This is, you know, pretty much considered like their Sgt. Pepper's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they've never really surpassed the critical and popularity, like, combined acclaim of this album, have they?
No, I wouldn't say so.
I mean, the one before it, to some, it was really quite successful and well loved and everything, but this is like
this was the peak of both
chefs
things.
This is the chef's kiss right here.
They've had other critical acclaims, but not,
and a lot of popularity. I mean, like, they've sold a bunch of albums, but this is the one.
This is
their Rumors,
right? Exactly.
This is the Dark Side of the Moon,
yes,
or whatever,
yeah,
of their career.
Yes, exactly. And you might at home be asking yourself, wait, you guys aren't doing an Old Gold. You know, this album came out 20 years ago, and that's the thing.
But we cheating, bitches.
No, we're not cheating. We're not cheating.
Oh, we're not.
We're not cheating, Craig.
Damn it.
Because they are releasing a remix version of the album. Every song has been remixed. And
we cheating, bitches.
It's not cheating.
Yeah.
That's not cheating.
No, we're just cheating with them. We're all cheating. Everybody's cheating.
No, we're not. They might
nothing's,
be cheating.
Nothing's new.
Dude, I don't know.
Just shining the turd and
I don't think so.
Back out there.
I mean, I think in this rendition.
Not that it's a turd.
Okay, let me defend it. No, I know what you're saying.
They're shining the metaphoric turd and giving it back to us and adding $5 and giving it back to us.
Yes.
Because this isn't an unreleased track.
Hmm? No, it's not unreleased.
It's just remixed.
It's just remixed. Yeah, the whole album has been, each song has been remixed by a different person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's not, so I would argue that it's like, it is what you're saying, but I give them props because they are making an effort to take it one step further. They could just remaster the fucking original and do the same thing that they're doing, that every band does, you know, where they're like, remastered versions with some demos on them, you know, here you go, buy it again.
But people would just, like, download that illegally.
Right.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
I don't think that they would sell any more. This seems like something that people would go and buy the album off of iTunes.
Yeah. But because it has like new content on it,
does it have actual new songs on it?
No. No new songs, but just I've heard one of these remixes and they might as well be new songs.
Right.
They're
okay.
pretty
very cool.
They're okay. pretty they're pretty intense. Like they really gave the songs over to these artists to do whatever they wanted with.
Now they just gave the core the masters over to the these remixers, or did they record also new music to go along with this stuff at all?
No, I think they just gave the masters over and let the person, and I'm sure it had creative input, you know, along the way, or maybe there were some things that were like, we don't like that, you know, but
pretty much they stuck with all source materials.
Yes.
Okay.
From what I, understand. But I mean, a remix person, usually creates, especially from what I've heard, I heard the Purity Ring remix of Knife Party and it, there's definitely new sounds added to it. Like, because a lot of these people will take it to the point where they might start with something original on the original recording and then put it through so many effects and plugins that it's basically something new, you know? But there's a cool list of people on the, remix thing. Robert Smith is remixing Teenager.
Okay, wow.
And I'm like, that's cool. I didn't know that he was into that. A Fantagram is remixing the song Street Carp. DJ Shadows remixing Digital Bath.
Wow.
Yeah. Square Pushers remixing Pink Maggot. There's some other people I haven't heard of, but today we're going to be listening to the remix of Passenger done by Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Which is like, I mean, just that sentence for me is like, you know, well done, because you guys managed to serve up something that's like Deftones, Tool, Linkin Park. You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, because the song features Maynard.
Sure.
I don't know what they've done to him in it. Necessarily.
Yeah, or where that guy's at musically right now.
Either. Oh, Mike Shinoda.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
No. Me neither.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Because he could be, who knows?
I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, but some of those other tracks sound just super interesting as well. Fuck, that DJ Shadow track is the one that really lights my fire.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is gonna be great. So should we fire it up without any more chitter chatter?
I think so.
Got more to say.
No, I
think
got nothing.
It is gonna be an interesting like mix. Like I'm hopeful and fearful and all of it all at once kind of.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah. I really don't, because like remix albums can really go off the rails. I've bought several, and like if there's one or two tracks that have like legs off of it, that's pretty good. General.
Totally.
Yeah. Why are you turning it around?
Because I think there's some visuals for this.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Cool.
All right. Let's run it. Let's do it.
Run it.
It's impossible.
Who cares? Who sees it?
you think of that thing?
I mean, I loved it.
Yeah.
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 I fucking loved it. I mean, you know, I'm the target demographic. I love that song already.
Uh-huh.
Like, you'd have to do some fucked up things to that song to make me
not love it.
You know?
Yeah.
So I admit the bias. But that being said, I was, you know, impressed by all the choices that the dude made. And I could hear the Linkin Park vibes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for sure.
Yeah, big time.
But, yeah, I thought that, you know, it was just interesting. It was entertaining to me, like, knowing the original and listening to this one. I'm like, wow, like, he, you know, reharmonized some of the parts. Mm-hmm. Like, he changed the chords in the background. Like, it was all new music in the background.
Yeah.
The only thing he kept was, I mean, the kind of general structure and then the vocals, you know.
Yeah. And then when it got, but when it got heavy at times, it felt like some of those tracks maybe were original, too.
Yeah, the ending, possibly, he did exactly. But when it, you know, when Maynard, when he's doing like the dana, light,
Aaron, none of that's dana, original at that point?
No, it did get heavy in that part, but they just do like a chord holding out part. Like, he put in these breaks,
right,
that I was like,
uh-huh,
it was pretty effective.
It was, yeah. It was very much like, this is what it would sound like if Maynard sang for Linkin Park.
Yeah, yeah.
If they would have gotten
and
him
Chino,
somehow.
Maynard and Chino somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're both on it. But
they are. Yeah. They are both on it.
But it's definitely Maynard heavy.
Maynard dominates
he
it.
He does, yeah.
He really does. Yeah. Especially in this remix.
Yeah.
I think even more so than the original. You know what I'm saying? I felt like it was more evenly. I felt like it was more. The vocals were more even in the original than they are. They felt like in this remix. Not that they don't. They both don't have the same lines that they had before. But I just felt like the Maynard parts were like louder or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they did seem louder, huh?
But he was singing like the lead vocal in it, and then the other guy was like the second vocal. And before it was like two. Like,
well,
I don't know.
Well, in the original, Chino has the lead in the verses where he's like, "Here I lay," and then Maynard's in the background like, "Still on breath."
Right.
But
I still feel like he's louder in this one, doing the background vocals of even those.
He might be.
Maybe not.
He was like, you know what? That's what I always wanted.
The feature
was to hear a little more Maynard.
It might be.
But
no, I liked it. I mean, I liked it.
It's ultimately
unnecessary, but I like it.
Oh, I think it's cool. I think you know, the I get not being into the Linkin Park aesthetic.
I'm not really into remixes.
Yeah,
I mean, just kind of like, I mean, like in general, like I feel like I'm of the school that life is kind of too short for them.
Huh?
You know, because I mean, like, I kind of lived through the period of the dance remixes and the 12-inch remixes and like the Cure remixed albums, and that was like this big thing, like in the late mid to like mid 94 to like 2000. It was like this big thing to remix everything that you'd ever done and put it out again.
Yeah,
the club mix.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
You know, like in the moment, it's fun stuff to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But like, this makes me want to go listen to the original album and not listen to this album.
Mm.
If that makes sense. I mean, maybe I'm not as, I know I'm not. I don't have as many miles with Deftones as you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I have not spent like a good portion of my teen years listening to the Deftones.
But say if like Radiohead did something like this. Where it's like they release OK Computer, but they let each song get remixed by someone else, but they were people you like respected, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I know you would listen to it, but would you like it? Maybe.
I don't think so. I mean, like, I really didn't like the reggae remixes of all the Radiohead songs that they put out. And I mean, I guess the one that, like, I like sometimes Radiohead covers. There's like a jazz pianist that covers Radiohead songs that I really enjoy his shit.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I think even like some of Radiohead remixing their own songs is annoying.
Yeah.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need like a longer version of Morning Mr. Magpie.
Yeah.
You know, like the album version's plenty of that one.
Yeah.
You know, I love you. I love you guys. And I love your drum machine and the whole team. But like, I'm done after like 7 minutes of the album or 5 minutes of the album.
Yeah. No, I hear that. But I think that, and I agree in certain contexts, like it depends on the remix, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, like when The Cure came out with their like remix album, I listened the shit out of that. And when U2 did a bunch of remixes of their stuff, like, man, I collected all of that. I mean, I put my remix time in, and there was a period of time that, like, I would seek that out and listen to it again and again. But I feel like, I guess maybe I'm just, like, when I hit, like, 30 or 35 and I started, like, working all the time and having, like, less time to, like, listen to music and stuff, it was, like, that was the first thing to kind of, like, go. As far as, like, what I would either listen to, like, new bands that I've not heard of before or stuff that I've not listened to enough, the original versions of it or the originals of the things that I love. But like, I didn't need to get like more traction out of these albums when there was so much more to discover.
Yeah.
And that was like, I was just like to get the most out of my efforts as far as like music listening, I guess.
Right.
You know, but this is super interesting. I'm not shit talking it, you know, I'm just, yeah, I mean, in a certain way, like, this would be great if mixtapes were still a thing. I would get, I guess maybe that's what makes me mad. What? That's what it is. The mixtapes stopped being a thing.
Mm.
That's when these songs were cool.
Right.
Is because you had, like, a friend or a girl a lot of times that they'd be like, oh, I love The Cure.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, bitch, I got a fucking remix.
I got a
of
remix
song
for you. Blow
I
your
know
mind.
Your fucking ass has never heard, right. And I'm gonna put that on a cassette tape and send it to you, and you're gonna think I'm awesome.
Yeah,
it's gonna be your new favorite thing because it's gonna be what you love, but it's gonna be like new,
right?
It's a fucking win.
Yeah,
it's a slam dunk. And now, what do? Put it on a Spotify playlist and then go fuck off.
Pretty much. That's pretty much all you can do
maybe
now.
Maybe that's what the stem of my disappointment with that shit. That's where that's coming from. The usefulness of it. And not just with girls, but with like everybody. Like if you're making, you know, like making like here's some cool songs to give to your buddy or whatever.
Sure.
And like that would be one that you'd be like, you got to check this out because it would like kind of blow their minds.
Right.
And now remixes don't really blow anybody else's minds. Like, if you super love the band, then you're into it and you listen to it more. And, like, in that sense, I enjoy this, too, because it's a really nice new take on that song.
Sure.
But
I think I would argue that this would come through, like, if you had this on a mix and you shared the mix with someone and they weren't really looking at the track listing, like, how you would listen to it in, you know, in like a car or something, like you're just putting it on and doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then this comes on, or any sort of like well done remix comes on that they might be familiar with. It would have the same effect where they're like, huh, what's this new song that I haven't heard? And then in comes the familiarity and they're like, whoa, it's the fucking different version of that, tripping them out, you know?
Yeah.
Which is arguably the cool part of a remix of, you know, that sort of, it's like a new song, but it's the same song, and it's sort of showing how, you know, a different, like how you can change a song and reinterpret it.
Right, right.
And
No, it is. It's great. It's great. It's just, it was a way to show that you were a fucking, you had big ball music knowledge and were awesome at one point.
Saying big bald or big bald?
No, both.
Okay, cool.
But
yeah.
you had the inside scoop on the band.
Yeah, definitely.
It was like it added to your cred in a way that it doesn't add to your cred now.
No.
Because it really is just a Spotify search away. And I guess that's the source of like the bitterness of it is the exclusivity of the remix is, I don't know, it has nothing to do with the song, I think probably. At the end of the day, probably, I mean, I think you're probably right that this is like a really creative interesting.
I liked it. Yeah,
remix of that tune. Yeah,
it just could have. And maybe I'm just like high and in the right mood for it too. Uh-huh. You know, but it. My expectations were a little shaky because I'm not, like we said, I didn't know what this Mike Shinoda dude is up to, and I'm like, oh, now I'm picking up all the stuff that he was putting into like Linkin Park, but I think that this is a lot better because it's a little bit, he's taking away the wicka wick wah wicka wick wow, you know, wicka wick wow, oh
yeah,
you know, yeah. And like some of that stuff, the more traditional DJ shit. But
you just still
kind of
hear it in your
mind,
in your children's mind, right. that little
sure.
Reptilian,
you know where it would go.
Your reptilian brain is putting that.
Yeah. The record scratching.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's very Linkin Park. And you got to have, I mean, not, it's got a lot of Linkin Park like sounds to it. And you got a special part of your heart that loves that too.
Oh, sure.
For sure.
Hybrid Theory, I will stand by as a great album. That's an old gold we should do. Oh, I don't know if it'll make
Lord.
It. I don't think it will. I think that was 2000 or something.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe we could fudge the rules for that one.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you could submit a request, or we'll see what the board thinks of it.
File an affidavit.
File a request on that one.
Yeah, I'll get right on
that.
We
could just do a full Patreon episode, punish those poor people.
That sounds great.
That's something.
We'll punish them.
Because I'll just get really angry.
You will. You'll get just, you'll hear Craig really dig in.
I mean, because it will be one of those things that I don't absolutely hate, but hearing you just sing praises about
one
it
thing,
for a very long
time. Don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. I tried so hard.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It'll be a roller coaster ride of emotion there.
Yeah, it'll be great. But
sounds not fun, but fun in another way. Like later, it would
fun
be
fun
for
other
others
people
to
listen to.
Yeah, that'd be miserable for me though. Mm-hmm. So that's probably something that we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So about this song, how high of a hit are you going to give it, Spenny?
I give it just a good old solid hit.
Just a good old solid hit.
Yeah, it's not a super hit. You know, it didn't necessarily give me like goosebumps, but I was in it. You know,
yeah,
I was in it when I was listening to it. I was enjoying it. I was, you know, I'm going to listen to it again. I want to show it to other people. I know some other people who are going to dig it, and I want to hear the rest of the album. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely want to hear the rest of the album. That's an amazing, the Robert Smith stuff sounds fantastic.
Yeah. I'm curious. I didn't know he did this kind of thing.
Oh, Robert Smith was a huge influence to the Deftones.
I knew that. Right? I just didn't know he did remixes.
Oh, he's the guy that remixed all the Cure. I mean,
he was the OG. Okay.
He was one of the.
I don't know things about that.
That was kind of one of his things. The 12-inch record was one of his domains. When Disintegration came out, like every that was great though. I mean, every single off of that had like a 12-inch that came out with the remix, and then like more original songs and then another remix probably too. You know, so yeah, he's super down with all of that sort of thing, and it's kind of cool that he's like going a little bit heavy too. That's cool. He hasn't been in that direction in a long time, I guess, other than the Cure stuff. But like
I wonder
what song is he doing.
Teenager, which I think is a quieter song.
Yeah, that is a quieter song. Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so that'll work for him too. Mm-hmm. But it'll still be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it like a, I don't know, it's right on the cusp of like a high or low hit for me.
Yeah.
You know, really.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, like I care, but I don't a whole bunch.
Don't care.
You know?
A lot.
And like it's past like my prime Maynard period, you know? As well. You know,
see, this is my prime Maynard period.
Not,
that's why I'm like.
Yeah. He's not quite as angry. He's a little more Third Eye Maynard in this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, that's great. I mean, and I love Third Eye Maynard. I do. I just don't love him the most as the other Maynards.
Yeah.
You know.
You like punk Maynard.
I like Rage Against the Machine Maynard feet.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, you know, I got no vision now. I'm like fucking pissed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he's just a little bit too, he's the, you know, esoteric in this one. Like, you know, and that's what this song is kind of too. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a perfect mix for him. They kind of wrote it with him in mind, maybe.
Definitely.
Or something,
they had to be hanging out or
right.
doing
or they wrote it together. I don't know. Did they write it together? They have sharing the writing credits on this song with Maynard?
That's
or
a good question.
Yeah,
I think he's... They definitely
he's
share
credited,
writing credits.
Yeah. But sure, I think I'm going to give it like a low hit.
Low hit?
Low hit.
Low hit. Well, right
just
on.
Barely creeping, but it might be such a thing as when I listen to that whole album, it'll get the waters will rise in general. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, Maynard is credited.
He's credited mm-hmm. as one of the songwriters. Cool.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah. This was a good one.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know,
our fourth Deftones in a year.
It's crazy. It's been a very Deftones year.
But they've been putting
year.
The shit out. I mean, like that's yeah. what's going on. It's yeah. somebody we care about that's putting the shit out. So yeah. that's why we cover it.
Yeah, and it's a cool year for them. It's a weird year for everybody, but they're just going right ahead. And I'm like,
right.
just thank you guys for not, because a lot of bands I think are putting everything on hold until they can support a record with a tour. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm just grateful when bands are just like, you know what. Let's just do it.
Yeah, Deftones is happy to stay home.
Yeah.
We're happy.
At this point,
God,
yeah.
we don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah, thank God.
Got nothing to prove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Gino. I would think you'd get like that after 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
And they tour like motherfuckers.
Oh, still.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. They're probably nice to get. Like, we got like 9 months off.
Oh, they're so stoked.
Hopefully. But, I mean, they got fucked, though. I bet you they're not super stoked.
No, they had a big tour
going
on.
Yeah, they had a tour of Europe booked and ready. Was it Europe?
That and the U.S.
I mean, you had tickets. I mean, you had tickets to a show, but it was much later. When we went in lockdown, like the show that you had was in the summer.
Yeah.
And, but they were just about ready to like.
They had the
trucks and shit were there.
Yeah.
You know, like they were set up and ready to like play
a
show.
These are arena tours.
And they shut the shit down like the day before.
Yeah.
So they lost all of the fucking money. Yeah. There was no like canceling any of it. They'd already hired. Everyone was already hired. You know, so they got hit fucking tough, and that's probably one of the reasons why they're releasing so much stuff
right
now, is because they're in trouble fiscally.
Yeah.
You know, they're like trying to pay back that all that overextension for like paying for a tour that just was pulled the rug out from underneath them.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm sure they got some of the money back or, like, forgiven or whatever because of COVID and different things than the American shows, you know, because those festivals were shut down. And within, like, you know, if it's canceled within, like, 4 months, they return all the money to the people that bought. Because you got your money back from that ticket, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, nobody was hurt for that. They just didn't make any money. So.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so
crazy.
I mean, good luck to them. I mean, I mean, there's a lot of folks that were in that position because that was the beginning of like the winter tour season, you know. So there's a lot of people that were on the road, just at the beginning of that post Christmas, mm-hmm. you know, people coming out of January. That's when they start going up again. You know, is that late January, early February?
Yep.
And
our last show that we played was in February, and it was with a band from France named Gorod.
Okay.
And they stayed at my house and everything.
Uh-huh.
And it was a great time. But those dudes barely made it home. Like, I remember talking to the guitar player. Because, they had, I think it was maybe the fourth or fifth date of this big old American tour going into March, you know.
Wow.
And so they, they had to scramble to make it back and go into straight lockdown. But,
wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy to think about. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now.
No, we should probably say goodbye to all the fine folks, because we've done what we said we were going to do, Spenny.
We did.
We listened to the music and we rated it.
Yeah. That's all we did.
And I bitched. And I bitched for a while, and that was just bonus.
You did. But then it went into, I think we made a discovery there. I think we made, you know, where it's like, oh, it's part of the culture, and then we discovered the root of your bitterness towards remixes.
He's not just crabby, he's old and crabby.
No, but there's a reason. Like, you know, it's not just like just being crabby, just being like, I hate remixes because they're new.
Right. This is why I hate the future. This it's not just I hate the future. It's this is why I hate the future.
Right.
And that's much more.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Got a reason.
He's got a reason. Yeah. Yeah. Look at him.
Look at him.
Oh, maybe he'll. I hope he stops talking soon.
Yeah.
Which he is going to stop talking soon.
We both are.
We're just going to stop.
Yeah. Like right now.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.